Good morning. I'm happy to introduce Mrs. Ora Ziering, who is was a GPATS scholar at Stern College, is also a Yoetzet Halacha, teaches in Toronto at Ulpanan, is also the director of the Women's Beit Midrash program for the YU Kollel at that institution.
Okay. Wait till everyone settles. 1 minute to settle. Okay. This is fine. So I'm going to start today with a bit of a confession. That's probably not the best confession to make at a Tanakh conference. When I teach in general, I have a very strong preference towards teaching halakha rather than Tanakh. And it's actually, so what I used to do, I would always get asked to teach, give a parsha shir. And the first thing I would do is open the Sefer HaChinuch that lists, they're around somewhere, that lists all the different mitzvot that come up in that parsha. And I would try to figure out which mitzvah can I teach that's going to sound, it will sound like a parsha shir, but I could kind of teach halacha and gemara while I'm teaching the parsha. And what that kind of led to, this is better, what that led to is this constant focus on, okay, what mitzvot do I see in this parsha, was me really thinking about this topic a lot and how, I ended up at this topic, which, okay, so we have all these stories in the Torah, and how does that actually relate to the halacha in each parsha? And I think that we also tend to forget. You look at the parsha, and every week there's usually pieces of it. Depending on what sefer you're in, what parsha you're in, there's going to be pieces of story, pieces of halacha. Sometimes it's primarily halacha, and we kind of forget that that's something that's weird. We're used to seeing the Torah that way. We're used to flipping back and forth, and we forget that we should think about that for a minute. I think in this stage, in this stage of my life, I have two little kids. One, my four-year-old, is now learning the parsha for the second time. And sometimes he reminds me of things that we forget about because we're so used to the Torah. For example, a couple weeks ago, he was learning about the Aseret Hadibrot, how Moshe went up to Har Sinai, got the Aseret Hadibrot. And since he's learning the parsha now for the second time, what he said, he says, oh, and then Moshe goes and throws down the Luchot. And his teacher says, no, actually that happens in a couple of weeks. And he was very confused because you forget that that's something that you should spend a minute and think about and say, wait, why do we have a story? Why don't we go through the whole story instead of taking a break and spending, parsha, learning about mitzvot and a bunch of other things, then going back to the story? So I want to try to focus on first of all, I want to look at the different reasons that we have the different purposes of narrative in the Torah. And I want to kind of highlight three different reasons and then focus on a fourth reason that I think is especially interesting. So to start off, what I think is really important is to talk about what's the purpose of the Torah in general. Because before we, start with this topic, we have to figure out what's the purpose of, the whole Torah. And if we understand what's the purpose of the whole Torah, we could then understand, wait, so what role does narrative take in fulfilling this purpose? So does anyone have any suggestions? What do you think? What's the purpose of the entire Torah without a focus on narrative?
Instructions for living.
Instructions for living. Okay. Anyone else? Any thoughts? That was pretty good. So let's say the Torah is there to instruct us on how to live our life. And so then we have two different pieces of the Torah, basically. We have a few other sections. We have some Shira, right, some songs. We have some Tochacha. But the main things that we have in the Torah, the main types of writing are stories, right, and laws. So if we're going to say that, you know, the Torah is teaching us how to live our life, obviously the laws are there to tell us what to do. So what's the role of the narrative? Okay, so maybe we're going to talk about, when we talk about the different reasons, one of the ideas that's going to come up is it's a different way of teaching us how to live our life, okay? And we're going to get there. So I want to look at four different reasons for the narrative. So does anyone have any other? So we have the first suggestion we had is it's a way of showing us how to live our life, right, by using stories, right, using models. What else? Okay, so it's giving kind of an origin myth, which is kind of a story about how everything started. How are we all connected? Okay, anyone else? Any thoughts? Yes.
I believe that it's all
Hellebuck. Okay, how so?
That even the narrative in Genesis is a preamble to the rest of the Torah, and that as a preamble, it is also halacha, just like the other Peter parts of halacha. As a matter of fact. I would say that it may be even more important than the halakha that you see as halakha, because in the story, it grabs you, and it brings things alive in the way that just a law doesn't, just stating a law doesn't necessarily bring things alive to you. But if you go through these stories, you find out they're not stories at all, but they're halakha.
Okay. So could you give me an example?
I'm just curious. Yes.
Okay.
Joseph.
Okay.
What is the purpose of Joseph's story? He sets out in the beginning, and the man asks him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he says, "I seek my brethren."
Okay.
He finds his brethren.
So how is, how is it halacha?
He finds his brethren at Joseph, when he says that he's Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Wait, what do you mean?
He doesn't find his brethren then, because they're not all together. They're not all together. They think they're all together, but it's not true, because at the end they come to him and they say, what are you going to do to us now that daddy died? So that the story that we usually think of as a climax isn't a climax at all. The story that is the climax is at the end of the story when he says, or when he has a choice between being right and being brotherly.
Okay, and how is that law?
That you're supposed to be brotherly.
Okay. So you're saying you learn the halakha from there, that you need to treat your brother.
I learn from every single, if it's a creation story, if it's a narrative in the Genesis. Every single story has halakha, and the halakha is more important.
Okay.
In fact, is the important thing of the story.
Okay, so you're saying that the narrative is there to teach us how to live our life, but taking that even farther than just saying, you know, they're stories that are models, right, to showing us how to live our life, but these stories take on halachic value as well.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll get there. Any other ideas before we look inside? Okay, so let's start together. We're going to start with a very famous Rashi, which is the first Rashi in the Torah. And this is, you know, our, I think, source for what we call an origin myth, right? Which is, this is how, you know, the first reason I want to talk about is the fact that the Torah is there partially to, you know, unify us as a people and to, you know, teach us our story and give us, you know, reason for who we are. And what we believe in. So Rashi in the first Rashi in the Torah, he asks an important question, which I think is really the focus of what we're talking about today, which is, why does the Torah start here? Right? If the Torah is a book of law, then we can, you know, fast forward, right? Many, many parshiyot. We don't need the whole first section. So that's the question he's going to ask, and we're going to look at his answer and we're going to discuss it. So everyone look in the first source. Bereshit. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Lo hayat zarich la'atchil at haTorah, ela mehachodesh hazelachem." right? The Torah, which is the law book of Israel, should have commenced with the verse, right? The month should be unto you the first of the months, right? So the first mitzvah, the actual halachic mitzvah that we have in the Torah is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so Rashi's saying, if the case, the Torah, right, theoretically, if we think the Torah is primarily just a book of law, right, then we should just start from our first halacha, right? Why do we have all these stories? It could have just started from this part, from when Bnei Yisrael got the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Right, Shehi Mitzvah HaRishona Shnitzvu BaYisrael, because that's the first mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael were commanded. Uma Ta'am Patach BaBereshit. What's the reason we start with Bereshit? Right, Bereshit, we have story after story after story. There are little pieces of, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say halacha, but at least allusions to halacha that we have, right, throughout Bereshit in the beginning of Shemot. But we don't have something that Chazal would consider to have the, you know, be halachically binding, right? Until we get to the point of, you know, once Bnei Yisrael are leaving Mitzrayim. So, why do we have all these stories? Umatam patach bereshit is umatam patach bereshit. Wait, so why do we start with open with bereshit? Mishum koach ma'asav hegid la'amo latit lahem nachalak goyim. Because of the thought expressed in the text, right, in Tehillim, he declared to his people the strength of his works, right? Hashem is telling the story of the creation of the world in order that he might give them the heritage of the nations. What does that mean? She'im gamru umot ha'olam li'Yisrael li'stimatem. For should the people of the world say to Bnei Yisrael, you are robbers. That you took by force the land of the seven nations of Canaan. Kol So Bnei Yisrael will be able to say to them, the whole land belongs to Hashem. Who bara v'natna la'asher yashar b'einav. He created it, and he gave it to whoever he wanted to give it to. Sheretzono natna lahem, uvretzono natla mehem v'natna lanu. Right, he willingly gave it to them, and he took it from them and gave it to us. Okay, so the understanding, Rashi's understanding here of why do we have this story of Bereshit? Why do we have this? You know, is a historical reason. It's proving our history. We're showing what really happened, so that Bnei Yisrael, right, have a kind of unified story and background. Right, and that's our first. So we have all this narrative, and what's the narrative doing? It's creating a myth, right? Not really a myth. You know, it's creating a shared history, right, for the Jewish people. Okay, so even if it doesn't have, right, halachic, you know, actual halachic value, there's still something really important, right, to these parshiot, right? It's not just, you know, we're a nation because we keep the same halacha, right? We all keep the same Torah. It's no, we're a nation because we had all these experiences together, right? Starting from, you know, our forefathers, right? We have Abraham and, you know, God, you know, going that, you know, we're, you know, we, you know, and we, you know, sorry, starting with Abraham, and we have all these stories, and we continue to have, you know, a unified story. And that we all keep the halacha because we are a unified people, right? So it adds a kind of a background that I think enhances the Jewish people and the Jewish people's history. Yeah, were you?
No, I think that some people could still argue about that, the nation side relates to that, because that's what the Jewish
meaning, but his answer specifically relates to, you know, he doesn't want to say, yeah, okay, you conquered the land from the seven nations, but Hashem really gave it to Abraham. Because a better proof is, well, Hashem created all the land. So whoever he gives it to, right, he has the right to give it to someone else. So he's answering a specific question that, you know, also, you know, that answer is all the way starting from Bereshit. Okay. So that's our first reason. So our first reason is that, you know, the narrative gives us, you know, a common story, right? An origin myth, or yeah, I was saying, this idea that everyone basically is able to, and that everyone has a common story, and the reason we keep the Torah and the reason we are, you know, the Jewish people is because we have the same history. And now I want to spend a little bit of time looking at the Ramban. The Ramban is actually also famous, but sometimes misunderstood. So I want to spend a little bit of time looking at it. So the Rambam is going to talk about the concept of kol ma she'ira la'avot siman lebanim. Right, so everything that occurred to the forefathers, right, the Avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, is a symbol to their sons. So anyone, you know, this is a pretty famous phrase. Does anyone, what comes to mind when you hear this phrase? What do you think the Ramban would be talking about? What does it mean that everything that happened to the forefathers, we're going to see it inside soon, is a sign for their children? Yes. Okay, so history will repeat itself to who?
For the next coming generations.
Coming generations. Okay, yes.
Well, if it wasn't for the covenant with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, there would be no Yisrael Mitzrayim.
Right.
Well, we don't know it's going to be Mitzrayim or anyone else, but there was a covenant made, so this Yisrael Mitzrayim was fulfilling the covenant.
Okay. Okay, continue. Anyone else? Yes.
God plans ahead so that when something happens in one generation, it's not, so to speak, random, but in fact is linked to what's coming for the next generations.
Okay, next generations. Okay. So let's look inside and see what this how the Ramban understands this. Okay, so the Ramban's talking about the Pesukim. So we have Va'evor Avraham Ba'aretz al Makom Shechem, and of Shem, and Avraham passed through the land and to the place of Shechem. So Omer Lecha, right? I will tell Klal Omer Lecha Klal Tavino Ta Bechol HaParshiyot HaBa'ot Binyan Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. So I'm going to teach you a general principle. Right, and you're going to use that principle to understand all of the next sections about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Haskiruhu rabotinu baderach tzara. And it's a great matter. Our rabbis mentioned it in a brief way. His ve'amru, they said, kol mashi ra la'avot siman lebanim. So everything that occurred to our forefathers is a sign for the children. Ve'lechen ya'arichu haktuvim be'sipur ha'masa'ot ve'chafirot ha'barot ve'shar ha'mikraim. And therefore, the Pesukim, right at length, talking about the journeys and the digging of the wells and other events in Bereshit, ve'echshov ha'choshev behem, ki'ilu heim dvarim miyutarim in behem to'elet. And it's possible that someone who thinks about them could think that they're just, extra information. Nothing, doesn't necessarily teach us anything, right? They're superfluous, with no purpose. But they're all there to teach us something about the future. Right, for when an event occurs to a prophet, right, which is the Avot, he will contemplate it from it matters that have decreed to come to his children. So this idea that whatever happens to the Avot has some sort of almost prophetic value to it. Right, something that happens to the Avot is something that is somehow going to affect what's going to happen to their children. Okay, and we're gonna in the next Ramban that I brought has some examples. So source number 3, Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz, and there was a famine. Hinei Avraham yored li Mitzrayim, and here Avraham is going down to Mitzrayim. Mipnei ha-ra'av because of the famine. La-gorsham la-hachiyot nafsho b'yemei ha-bitzarot. Right, and he's going to live there temporarily to save his life during the time of the drought. V'ha-mitzrim askuo tochinam v'lakachad ad ishto, and the Egyptians exploited him without cause to get his wife. V'ha-kadosh baruch hu nikim nikmatam b'negaim dolim, and Hashem got revenge on them with great afflictions. V'ha-tzi'u misham b'ikne b'kesev v'zahav. And he left there with a lot of gold, silver and gold. V'gam tziva alav paro anashim l'shalchan. And Paro also commanded the people to send them. So v'rem is alav. So I'm sure you could all guess. What is this a foreshadowing of?
Exodus.
the Exodus, right? So Ramban from Amazalov, Kibanav Yerdum Mitzrayim. It's a symbol to him, right? A hint to him that his children will go down to Mitzrayim, Rupnei Harav, right? Because again of a famine. Lagur Sham Ba'aretz, to live in the land. Vahamitzrayim Yeruulahem Vichumehem Anashim Kashir Amar Vakola Batachayun, right? And the Mitzrim will do evil to them and take their wives, right? As it said, and every baby girl you shall let live, right? Because you know, the assumption was the reason they were only letting the baby girls let live is because if they had no one to marry, they would end up marrying Mitzrim, right? And they would be assimilated. So that's it. You know, it's the same idea as taking Sarah is basically not letting any of the male children live. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yinkom Nikmatam B'Negaim Gdolim, and Hashem would get revenge on them with great afflictions, right? The Makot Ad Sheyotziam B'Kesev V'Zahav V'Tzonu Bakar Mikna Kaven Meod, right? And you know, and until they let them go with lots of wealth, right? With gold and silver and cattle, and V'Hechziku B'Hem L'Shalcham Min Ha'aretz, and they will force them, yeah, and they will, yeah, with, and they'll, like, tell them to leave the land. Velo nafal devar mikomu raha'av shelo yeh habanim. Right, and he says that there is not one thing, right, that happened to the forefathers that didn't happen to this children, to their children. V'hanyan hazeh parshuhu v'reishit rabba v'pinchas b'shem Rabbi Oshia amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham tse v'kvosh haderech l'mpnei banecha. Right, and it's this. So we see this like concept in the Midrash in Bereishi Rabbah 8:6. Rabbi Pinchas said in the name of Rav Oshaya, the Holy One said to Avraham, "Go and conquer the way for your children, and you will find that everything that was written regarding Avraham was also written regarding his descendants. Regarding Avraham, it is written there was a famine in the land, and regarding to Israel, it is written this is already there's already 2 years of famine in all the land." So according to the Ramban, right, the reason we have all these stories in Bereishit, right, is because it's kind of telling us what's going to happen for the next generation. And the question here, is this really answering the full, my question, is this answering why is there narrative in the Torah, right? Why are there stories in the Torah? Yes or no?
Yeah, but more so, is it answering the connection between law and, like, title?
I want to talk about narrative in general. We're saying, what's the point of narrative in general and whether it connects to law? My last answer is going to specifically connect to law. Okay, so we have our second approach is that it affects we learn this narrative because it's going to show us something that's going to happen in the future. Meaning, does it mean that every story we read from Bereishit to Dvarim, right, is that, or is it just talking about the Avot? Right, it seems like we're saying anything that happens to the Avot specifically, right, is something that would happen to the children. You know, and also I think a lot of you, when I asked you what you thought it meant, said it's talking about future generations. I'm not sure that's what the Ramban was saying, even though I do think historically we do believe that. I'm saying, any thoughts? I don't think it's necessarily saying it's forever. It's saying specifically everything that happens to the Avot is going to happen to, like, the next generation of Bnei Israel. It's alluding to what's going to happen in the future to Bnei Israel.
How do you learn law if you don't? It's easier to learn law with narrative as opposed to straight law. You should not do this, but it's easier to learn in the context of a story.
That's true. And the truth is, we don't actually do it that often. It's easier. Meaning, when you have a story, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's maybe, and maybe that's something when we learn that we're going to get from stories, right? Even in cases where it's not obvious that's how we would learn them. Yes.
But if this is just a principle that relates to the Avot and the subsequent generations, but still within the narrative of the Bible, why do we need it? Why don't we start with chapter 12 of Shemot?
Okay, so. First, I think it does teach us something important about all the stories that happen later on, right, in Shemot. And I also think, and this is, I want to emphasize this, that when I'm bringing all these reasons, one of the reasons I'm bringing these reasons before I start with what I, you know, the reason I want the fourth reason is because I think you need all of them. I think that it's not like one's right and one's wrong. I think we have a lot of narrative in the Torah, and we're not going to explain all of it using one reason. I think it's important. So saying the stories of the Avot, this is one great reason, a great way to explain how they work and why they're there, right? But I think we also need the historical background. You know, there's other reasons, and we're going to see the Nitziv, and we're going to see, and I want to say that they all work together, right? And we don't have to say all narrative in the Torah is for one reason. It's each story can be understood differently, and therefore we should make sure we know what are all the different ways that, or at least some different ways that we can understand narrative, and in each case, right, you're able to actually figure out what that, why we have why the narrative is there, and it doesn't need to be the same. Okay, great. Okay. Perfect. Okay, so we're going to, the third, I think, is the most famous, and the first thing that was said when we were brainstorming at the beginning of this year, we have the Nitziv. Okay? So the Nitziv is called Zeh HaSefer. This is the book, HaNikra Sefer Bereshit, that is called Sefer Bereshit. Nikra Mipi HaNevi'im Sefer HaYashar. The Nevi'im called this the book of the straight, the book of the upright. And we need to understand the reason. Lama kara Bilham et avotinu b'shem yisharim b'yichud. So why did Bilham call our forefathers specifically by the name of upright? Right? V'lo tzadikim chasidim b'kadoma, and not the righteous or pious or anything like that. V'gam, lama mechona sefer ze ha-sefer b'yichud b'kinu yisharim. And why specifically is this book the one that's called Sefer HaYisharim? Ubilam hitpalel al atzmo shehe achrito kamo ba'ale ze ha-kinui. Right? Because, and why did Bilam pray for himself that his end should be like those who carry these tithes? That's not totally, just finishing the sentence. But I want to focus on why is it that, you know, Sefer Bereshit was called Sefer HaYashar. So the reason that Siv brings is v'ha'inyan shnishba'er b'shirat ha'azino al ha'pasuk ha'tzor t'hamin pa'alo tzadik v'yashar hu d'shevach yashar hu ne'emar lahatzdik din ha'kadosh baruch hu b'chorban bayit sheni she'haya dor ikesh u'pitaltel u'pirshinu shahayu b'nei oto dor tzadikim v'chasidim v'amlei Torah af lo hayu yisharim b'halichot olam. So once I get the answer, it is explained with regards to the Song of Hazino. On the Pasuk, the rock whose actions are perfect, he is righteous and upright, and the praise of upright is used to justify God's judgment for the destruction of the Second Temple, for the generation was twisted and corrupt. We explain that that the people of the generations were righteous and pious and involved in Torah, but they were not upright in the way they acted in the world. Al Kain, Mipne Sinat Chinam, Sheb Bilibam, Bilvam Zedze, Hashdu at Mishrau, Shenoheg, Shalokada, Tam Birat Hashem, Husaduk, Sahit, Hutiduki Vapikores, Uba Bao Al Yedeze, Lidesh Vihutamim, Badera Hafaga, Vilachol Haraocheba Olam, Achaharab Habayet. Therefore, because of the pointless hate in their hearts towards each other, they suspected those who saw the world differently than they did with regard to the fear of God as a heretic or sectarian. And because of this, they came to bloodshed, right, and all the evils of the world until the temple was destroyed. Ve'al zeh hayat tziduk hadin, she'akadosh baruch hu yashar hu, ve'ino sovel tzadikim ke'elu, ela be'ofen sheholchim b'derech hayashar, gam b'halichot olam, v'lo ba'akmimut, af al gav shehu l'shem shamayim, d'zeh gorem korban habriyah, v'harisu yishuv ha'aretz. Right, this was the justification that Hashem is upright and does not tolerate these kinds of righteous people, but rather those who walk with uprightness in the ways of the world, not with corruption, even when this is for the sake of heaven, as this causes the destruction of creation and civilization. And this is the praise of the forefathers. Right, and besides for being righteous and pious, right, love of God as much as possible, od hayu yashirim. They were also upright. Kamoshe anu roim kama hishtatach Avraham avinu lihitpalel al stom. Like we see that Avraham, worked so hard to daven for its stone. V'hayinu mamash ke'av hamon goim sha'af al gav she'in haben holech b'mesharim b'kol makom ha'av shocher shlomo v'tovo. Right, that is the meaning of the father of many nations, that even though the son does not go on a straight path, the father still seeks his peace and goodness. So we see from the Nitziv, right, this whole idea, I think we originally said, it's the Sefer HaYashar, right, is the whole idea that Avot were Yesharim. They were people who were, straight, good people, right, and did the right thing. Right, and that's the whole point of Sefer Bereshit, right? It's Sefer HaYashar. And therefore, one of the reasons we have all these stories, according to the Nitziv, is to see all these, to basically see these stories of how the Avot acted. And obviously, to try to use those actions, right, as a model as to how we act, whether or not we see this as halakha or not, right? We still see these as stories that are supposed to teach us how to act. Yes. So I'm saying there are different approaches in the Jewish world of how we see a story like that, right? In the more right-wing world, where people are, we're going to reinterpret the story to be a good story. But I think in the more, in the what's called the Tanakh Bagova Hainayim, right? Seeing Tanakh, it's like an eye-to-eye level where we kind of see the people in Tanakh as people who make mistakes, which is, is partially the Yeshivat Haratzion approach to learning Tanakh. We would say, sometimes we have to learn from what they did wrong. So, it depends. Any other questions before we go on? So, yes.
The Nitziv, it seems to me, is writing a very modern text. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But weren't even, so to speak, part of his people, and yet he defends them.
Mm-hmm. And that's considered something good, you're saying. That's
yes.
Interesting. Okay. So we so far have looked at three different approaches to why we have, why there is narrative in the Torah, right? So the first is from a historical perspective to give us, a Jewish backstory. The second is that we have some concept of kol ma she'ra la'avot siman l'banim, everything that happens to the avot, right, is a, kind of a, gives us a allusion to what's going to happen, right, to the future generations, or generation, depending on how we understand it. And then it's Siv said, is that it's Sefer Bereshit, specifically a Sefer HaYashar. We're supposed to kind of learn from what the Avot did and their good or maybe not so good actions. We're supposed to take that and apply that to our life. A fourth approach, which is something I've been having fun with recently, is something I've, and it again has stemmed from me. Like I'm saying, when I'm asked to give any shir on the parsha, I'm always, the focus is always going to be, okay, what mitzvot are in the parsha? So I've, especially in Svarim, and in Bereshit, let's say, when you're giving a shir on the parsha, and you don't want to focus on story, you end up really trying to figure, okay, where's the halacha here? And you spend a lot of time figuring out how can I, talk about halacha when I'm in the story, and you end up reflecting on, okay, what's the point of having this here? So I'm going to say it outside, and then I want to bring a few examples. It's an idea, and I actually saw it, Rabbi Forman talked about it, and I think he did a really good job of explaining exactly what I want to say, which is he said sometimes the story is there to give some type of backdrop to the halakha, where if the story is a positive story, what the halakha tries to somehow formalize what the story was talking about, right, and make it something that we have to do. But if the story is a negative story, okay, if it's something that, it didn't work out quite well, the halacha tries to fix it, right? So the halacha is somehow building upon the story, okay? So something good that we see happening in the Torah, the halacha is going to try to formalize it and say, okay, this is something we should do. And sometimes there's going to be something negative in the Torah, and that negative thing, right, is going to be fixed in the Torah, right? It's going to in the halacha later on. And somehow, and this is again when we talk about, let's say we want to say that the reason for the narrative is for Sefer HaYasher, right? We have to learn from all the good things that, you know, that the Avo did, but we don't know what to do with the not so good things. Maybe sometimes that we could flip it, we could see it from this light, right? Where it's something that a negative story, where the halacha kind of builds upon that and kind of improves the story. And my favorite example, and then we're going to look inside and see a bunch of other examples, but I think my favorite example explains the negative one correctly, right? Which is when you see the story of Tamar and Yehuda, right? Where Tamar, where basically you see that, you know, Tamar is married to one of Yehuda's sons, and he dies, and she's supposed to, she does Yibum with one of them. And then he dies, and Yehuda basically doesn't want to give his next son, and we end up having, she ends up basically pretending to be a prostitute to sleep with Yehuda because she knows that she somehow has to get back in this family. And so it's kind of a weird and like an interesting story. And what I think, and the Torah basically sees this story, and by the way, Yibum was something that was cultural in those days. It wasn't just a Jewish thing, right? So it says, okay, here we have the story where someone is supposed to do this this process of Yibum, right, to help build their brother's family, even though their brother passed away. And we also see that sometimes it could go wrong because there's no way to get out of it. Like, what if you don't want to? What if it's not going to work? So what the halacha does with Yibum is say, okay, we're still going to have this concept of Yibum, but we're going to add chalitza. Right? We're going to add a way to get out of it. So we have this backdrop of a story that's an interesting story. And one of the things that we could say about the narrative of the story is that it's actually there to teach us what is that? What is the purpose? But to teach us, where did chalitza come from? Right now, we have a deeper understanding of how the mitzvah of Yibum and chalitza are supposed to interact with each other, and what's the whole reason behind this concept of chalitza? Right, it's adding on to something that was a cultural norm to fix a problem that we saw in the Torah. Right, we saw this whole story wouldn't have happened if there was just a simple way to get out of it, but they were stuck. So the Torah figures out a way to kind of get, which would have solved the previous story. So that's one thing. That's one example of where we see something that kind of didn't go right in the Torah, and the halacha itself is building on its own. The story functions, I think, as a backdrop to what the halacha is. That when you kind of look at them together, you're able to have a deeper understanding of the purpose of the actual halacha. I think we also have a lot of other examples, which I brought down here, of positive things that we see in the Torah that we end up using as sources of halacha, right? So positive, we see in the narratives, right? We see things that happen, things that people do, and a lot of examples of things, what we're going to see in the Gemara and Sota, of things that Hashem does, and we actually take those to be the main sources of the halacha later on. So let's start with the Psukim in Bereishit Yudchet. We have the story of, it's after Avraham, when Avraham has Brit Milah, and he is, you know, in his tent, and we have Vayar, I love Hashem, but Elonim Mamre, Vuhu Yoshef Petach O Mohed Kecham Ayam. So Hashem appeared to him in Mamre, and he was sitting at the entrance of a tent as the day grew hot. V'yisa Einav Vayar, V'hinei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav, Vayar V'yarat Likratam Petach Ha'ohel V'yishtachavu Arza. So looking up, he saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them, and bowing to the ground, V'yomar Adoni, im na matzati chen be'necha, al na tavor me'alav decha. And he said, my lords, if it pleases you, do not go past your servant. Yikach na me'at mayim, v'rechatsu rag lechem, v'hisha'anu tachad ha'itz. Right, let a little water be brought, breathe your feet, and recline under your tree. So we have here the story of basically Hashem bringing the three, which we know are malachim, right, to Avraham when he's sick, because he was kind of waiting. He wanted to do chesed. He brings them in front of him, and we learn a bunch of different halachot from this story. Okay, and the first we're gonna see in Masechet Pesachim. Right, we have Vatanya, Kol Hayom Kulo Kasher Lamila, Elas Shezrizi Makdim Mila Mitzvot. So all day is a good time to do the mitzvah of a Brit Mila. However, people who do it early, it's like, you know, is the best way to do the mitzvah. Shnei Amar Vayishkam Avraham Baboker. Right, as it says, with regarding to the... One second. Let me just... Okay. I don't have the right text. Okay, let's keep going. I have a different example. Okay, Masechet Sota. Okay. Ma Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Okay, my dechtiv acharei Hashem Elokeichem teilechu. So this is one of my favorite gemaras. So we say, what does it mean? In Devarim, the pasuk says, after Hashem, your God, you shall go. V'chi afshar lo la'adam lahaloch achar shechina. Is it possible that a person goes after the shechina? Are you able to go after God? What does that mean? V'halok far ne'emar, doesn't it already say in another pasuk in Devarim, ki Hashem Elokecha ishoch lahu, that Hashem, your God, is a consuming fire, right? Ella, so what does that mean? You know, if God is a consuming fire, how is it possible to walk after him? Ella, lahalach achar midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, you should go after the midot, the actions, kind of, or characteristics, or attributes of Hashem. Mahu mobish aromim, just like he clothes the naked, dichtiv, vayas Hashem, Elokim la'adam v'lishto, ketonet orviel bishem, just like in Bereshit, right, at the end of the story of Adam and Chava, right, Adam and Chava finally realize that they're naked, right, after they ate from the tree, right? So, and we see the pasuk says that Hashem made Adam and Chava clothes of skin and clothed them. Af anu, af atam helbi sheromim. You too should clothe the naked. Hakadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, which we just saw. So, just like Hashem goes and visits the sick, vayar elav Hashem be'elonei mamre, that Hashem appeared to Avraham, right? It wasn't really, it wasn't really real guests. It was malachim. So, just like Hashem came to make Avraham feel better. Af ata biker cholim. You too, right, should visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechem avilim. And just like God goes and helps them, you know, it consoles the mourner, which we see dichtiv, like it says, Vehi achrei mon Avraham, Vearech Elokim et Yitzchak b'no. Right after Avraham dies, you know, Hashem goes and tries to console, kind of, you know, he blesses Yitzchak. Afata nechem avilim. You too need to go and console the mourning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavor meitim, just like Hashem buries the dead. Dichtiv. Ve'ikver oto begai, right, that just like it taught when it talks about Hashem bearing Moshe, right, he bearing Moshe and Gai, a guy, afata kavor meitim. So too, you should bury the dead. So what I love about this Gemara is that we're talking about, okay, so what does it mean, you know, that you're supposed to go after God, right? And we say, okay, God does all these things, right? And therefore we have to do them. But I love that they pick out the psukim of where we see God doing things, right? And we see that we have all these stories where Hashem, right, is kind of has certain rules, and those rules, right, that God plays in each story, he says, those things you also need to do, right? And they, by the way, a lot of these are actually like real sources that when we discuss these halachot, right? These halachot are partially based on, you know, this Gemara where we see, well, God did that. So that's one of the reasons, you know, Nichum Aveilim and Bikur Cholim. These things that we know are real mitzvot, these are the main sources where they come from. And this idea that we can take, so these are things that we saw being done right, right? The examples that we see in the Torah are, you know, things that, you know, right now, God, right, did properly, and therefore we're supposed to imitate them, and we formalize that by making it halacha, right? We formalize it by making it halacha, and, you know, in the Torah, it's kind of a story, and then we say, well, these are things that we see that are, you know, very positive, and we should therefore, we implement it halachically. One more, we're good timing. And one example that is, I think, very pertinent to our time right now before Pesach is in the whole story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Why do we have this story, and what does it teach us about the halacha, right? Like, how does this, you know, that, how does that, you know, affect the, you know, halachot that we have? Nechama Leibowitz has a whole piece in the beginning of Sefer Shmot where she discusses this. And what she does, and we're going to look inside, is shows us all the psukim. There's tons of psukim in the Torah, right, that basically end, right, Ki avadim hayitem be'eretz Yisrael or girim hayitem be'eretz Yisrael. We have all these psukim that tell us we have these mitzvot that you have to do. And the reason that you need to do them is because you were slaves in Egypt. Okay, and this, and we're going to look specifically at what they are, but we see here that there was an experience that we had in this case that was supposed to affect the way that we do certain mitzvot. And we'll see what they are in a minute. But, you know, as we had these experiences, and that's supposed to affect the way that we do certain things. Okay, so let's look, let's start with Vigir Lotona Velotalchatzenu, Kigirim Hayitem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So you should not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So this is how are we supposed to treat strangers? We're supposed to, you know, we shouldn't oppress them, and why? Because you were strangers, you know how that feels. And since you know how that feels, right, we have this, and by the way, you know, it's if when you think of the Seder that we have, the whole point of the Seder is to feel as if, right, you left Egypt. So when we say, well, you're supposed to feel as if you left Egypt, one of the reasons you're supposed to once a year feel as if you left Egypt is because this experience, right, is supposed to affect you, the way you act to other people, right, the way you act to strangers, and we're going to see avadim also. But this, the whole idea of, you know, we need to, you know, that you need to have a proper, you know, experience of, you know, what did it feel like to be in Egypt, and once you feel that and you understand that you're able to do this whole list of mitzvot properly. Let's look at, and again, you see in, let's look at source number 10. V'yom hashvi'i, Shabbat l'Hashem alokecha. So we're talking about the mitzvah of keeping Shabbat. So on the seventh day, is Shabbat ta'Hashem, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. You shouldn't do any malacha, or creative work. Atah bin chavitecha, avdecha v'amatcha, v'shorcha v'chamorcha, v'kol behem techa, v'gircha asher b'sharecha. Laman yinuach avadecha v'amitecha imach. Right, so you shouldn't do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male, your female slave, your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle, or the stranger in your settlements, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. And why? V'zacharta ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim. You need to remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim. V'etziach Hashem alokecha misham, and Hashem took you out of there. B'yad chazaka v'zeron netuya. And, you know, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, al kein tzivcha Hashem alokecha lasot et yom haShabbat. And that's why, right, the Hashem commanded you to observe the Shabbat day. So we see when we specifically, right, after we talk about this mitzvah of Shabbat, and we include, right, your slaves in that mitzvah, and then we remember, you know, remember you were slaves too, right? You're supposed to remember what it means to rest, and you and your slaves, right? First of all, Shabbat is supposed to remind you, right, that you are now Hashem's slave, right? You're not a slave of Mitzrayim, so it helps you keep Shabbat. And at the same time, the inclusion here that we have of the slave and, you know, that your slave and, you know, your male and female slave show you that you're supposed to, you know, be able to give, right, the Shabbat to them as well. You're supposed to treat them better, right? You have to remember you were slaves. Don't treat your slaves, right, the same way. Make sure they have Shabbat too. And also make sure that, you know, the idea of Shabbat is remember to, you know, stop, right? You know, because you're no longer the slaves that you have to be doing Hashem's work all the time rather than doing your master's work all the time. And then we have also in Devarim, we talk about letting your slaves go. And when you talk about letting our slaves go, you need to, and the Torah says you have to give your slaves a lot of stuff, right? Hanik, tanik, lo mitzancha, umigerancha, umikibcha, asher berachacha, Hashem alokecha, titain lo. So furnish him with a flock, this threshing floor, and that of which the Hashem has blessed you. V'zacharta, ki eva hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yivdecha Hashem alokecha, al kein anochi mitzavcha et hadavar hazeh hayom. And remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and Hashem redeemed you, and therefore I'm commanding you to do this today. So when you send your slave away, right, finally your slave is free, you can't just, like, send them away and with nothing. You need to treat them properly, because remember you were slaves, and you need to remember you were slaves, and therefore we need to treat slaves properly. So this experience that we have with the narrative we have about being slaves is supposed to affect, right, the way that we treat our future slaves and our future, and, you know, future strangers in the land. And you're supposed to be able to use that experience, right, to somehow, you know, to, you know, in a, it's, I don't have it manifest in a halachic way. The last example I want to bring is just an interesting, if you see, you know, there's the, we also, when we talk about your slave, it says, lo tir dabo beperach v'yiratam elokecha. So you should not rule over him ruthlessly, you shall fear your God, right? So you're not supposed to rule over your slave ruthlessly, and you have to fear Hashem. And we see that in the psukim that talk about us and Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, this word perach comes up a lot, right? Vayavdu, source number 13, Vayavdu Mitzrayim et Bnei Yisrael beparach, right? V'yemamru, so the Egyptians ruthlessly imposed upon the Bnei Yisrael, right? V'yemamru et chayehem ba'avodah kasha, right? With, and they made their life miserable with hard work, b'chomer uvelevanim, right? With mortar and bricks, v'chol avodah basadeh, and all sorts of tasks in the field. Et kol avodatam asher avdu behem beperach, all of the different work that they made them do ruthlessly. And we see using that same word, it's saying, don't do, what the pasuk is saying in source number 12 is, don't do what they did to you, to them, right? You have slaves now. But now, remember that you were a slave and you need to treat all people with dignity. And you had this experience. This experience is supposed to create certain sensitivities in you. And we formalize that with the halakha, right? We say these are things that, a bad experience that we had as the Jewish people, right? We can even combine this with our first approach historically, right? As the Jewish people, we had this negative experience, which is supposed to affect us, right? And how we act to other people. And we formalize that in the halakha. We say, this is how you need to treat other people properly, especially people who are disadvantaged. And since you have to, and we take that from a, and we say, and the halakha says, okay, and let's formalize that. What does that exactly mean? It means treat the ger properly and treat your slave properly. And I especially like the connection with the words. It shows, you know, perach is exactly, don't do what they did to you, to them. Yeah, don't to your slaves.
Boy said, Hyas would help Jewish immigrants. That was the job of Hyas. But now, and because there were Jewish immigrants, they needed help. But now, we help all immigrants because we are Jewish and because we have learned what that lesson is.
Thank you. Yes.
It seems to me that you've given an excellent presentation on the rabbis, but you haven't given an excellent presentation on the Torah. Because the Torah is 1,000 years or more before the rabbis exist. And therefore, the Torah has its own meaning in addition to the meaning that the rabbis gave it. And the job of a Torah scholar is to find out what the Torah is saying, chutz mi the rabbis.
But I think it's dafka at the end. Like when we talk about the halacha, the Torah itself is giving the halachic
application. No, you're saying the halacha is the rabbis.
I don't think it's the rabbis. I think it's the Torah. It's in Devarim. It's in Shemot. It's the Torah itself is saying that. I'm saying the Torah is saying we have this story, and because we have this story, this is why we have the halacha. I think it's actually specific. I'm saying in the last approach, I think it's specifically saying that that's what the Torah does. Okay. Should I stop?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.